Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
My guest today is going to lift you up so high. His name is Preston Morrison. After serving in ministry for 13 years at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, Preston and his wife Holly were sent out to Scottsdale, Arizona to fulfill the dream that God had put on his heart nearly two decades earlier. Being the senior pastor of Pillar Church in Arizona has given Preston the opportunity to walk out the call of leadership that God has placed on his own life, all while serving alongside a dynamic staff, building a community that feels like family, and loving the people in the Valley of the Sun. Preston's a self-proclaimed romantic. Whether he's studying a way to communicate God's truth, his beautiful wife Holly or their three kids, or finding ways to bless the people in his own life, he does it with a passion and a love that are truly contagious. Preston loves studying God's word and communicating truth in a way that transforms people. And above all, he leads from a place of obedience. He understands that Pillar Church is not his. It belongs to God. And he's simply honored to be a part of what God is doing in Scottsdale. Preston, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Zach.
You have blessed me from afar, and it's just been an incredible gift to see the way God is moving and leading in and through your life, not just through your sermons, but also the content that you're sharing on social media. Your podcast, The Leader's Cut, is something that I turn into every week, and it's just fun just to hear what God is doing in and through you, my friend. So thank you for what you're doing. Looking forward to this time. I wanted to begin, though, as your role as senior pastor of Pillar Church, located in Scottsdale, Arizona. I read in your bio that You were at Gateway Church for over a decade. You did a lot of work there, a lot with young adults and kind of that youth ministry space. But then God called you years and years prior to move out to Arizona to church plant. I would love to hear where that dream really stemmed from, but also what it's been like for you personally in walking out that dream.
Great question. Loaded question. So I was 18 when I felt the Lord speak to me for the first time about coming out to Arizona to plant a church at some point. So before I went to college, I went to GCU out here in Phoenix. And then my last semester at GCU, a man named Robert Morris started a church named Gateway and felt the Lord say, go back there. But I shared with him, at some point, I feel God's going to call me back to Scottsdale to plant a church. And during my roughly 12 years at Gateway, when I started, they weren't even 60 people, probably. And by the time I left staff, they were probably 15 to 20,000 people. So to leave that, something that God was doing, some really powerful things, and then go start from scratch in the middle of the desert outside of the Bible Belt, it's been a wild journey with lots of learning experiences on the backside of the mountain oftentimes.
Man, Preston, let me ask you this. How did you do something like that? Because that's got to be comfortable. It's convenient. It's grown to this massive, large church. Like, dude, this is awesome. God is moving. But how did you feel the nudge from God and know that it was him speaking?
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd have to be crazy to leave. Like, everyone thought I was insane for leaving such a great job. But from my seat, wherever God was going, I was going to go. And it wasn't that he left Gateway. It was just for me. I could sense he was moving towards Scottsdale, and no matter what it meant for me personally and for my family, I was determined. Lord, where you go, I'm going, and I'm not going to let go of the hem of your garment. So kind of probably sounds cheesy, but I mean, it was just, I've tried much of my life since I was about 13, one of my highest aims has tried to be best friends with God. When I was a boy and read through scripture and saw the different men and women who had intimate fellowship with God, it's just something that captivated me, and I wanted that. And when I realized the veil was torn, when Jesus died and I had access because of what Jesus did. There are lots of crazy things I do now in the name of wherever my friend goes, I'm going. Whatever he's doing, I'm doing, no matter what.
Mm. I tell you what, it's encouraging to hear you talking about just being attuned to the following of the Holy Spirit and his voice in and through your life. And, you know, I'd be interested in knowing, because I remember when you made the transition, I was reading that it was called Gateway, kind of Scottsdale, like that was a location. But then is that why there was the name change to the Pillar Church? Like, how did that all come about?
Yeah. So I obviously growing up at Gateway, and that's my family. It will always be my family. And much of who I've become is because of the men and women, especially the older ones than me, raising me in ministry. But about probably 5 years ago, the Lord started to put on the radar that just kind of like with Jacob, I was going through a transition, and in the same way that he changed Jacob's name as a part of what he was doing in Jacob's life, the Lord was changing Gateway Scottsdale's name to Pillar. And Pillar just comes from, it was the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The church is the pillar of truth. There's all kinds of scriptures about the pillar, holy moments in scripture. When Jacob had one, he took the rock he had slept on as a pillow and set it up as a memorial stone of a holy moment between he and God. And so Pillar became a really special word to me, as the Lord kind of made it so clear throughout Scripture.
You know, it's evident in throughout your work and in throughout your sermons and in throughout the content that you're sharing all over your multiple platforms that you really are continuing to pursue that pillar each and every day and having Christ be the foundation on which you stand. I love your podcast, The Leader's Cut, which involves a kingdom conversation between kingdom leaders who are desiring to grow. From past experiences to practical tips to cheat codes in life, you encourage your listeners to lean into the cuts each week for biblical principles and practical takeaways that you can apply to become the leader that God has created you to be. Preston, just up front, share with us the why behind the start of that podcast, but also how did you come up with that name? Because that's an interesting name, my friend.
Yeah, it is an interesting name. The podcast wasn't my idea. A guy on our staff at the time was like, hey, you say in your sermons all the time how much gets left on the cutting room floor. Why don't you start another vehicle for dispensing that you feel like the Lord is giving you? And so we started it. The Leader's Cut, the name, really came from the people of God were always meant to be a people of the cut. I don't want to go too far down the road of circumcision, but, you know, in the Old Testament, we get fixated on literal circumcision. Then we get to the New Testament, and we see one of God's greatest desires for his children is that our hearts be continually circumcised before him. Well, what is circumcision? It's the cutting upon. And so I feel that the closer I feel the Lord draws to me and I draw to him, the more cut on I feel. You know, I think if we're not careful, we can begin to self-soothe, thinking we're hearing a voice from the Lord that always agrees with us and always tells us what we want to hear. And my experience is that's oftentimes more my enemy than it is my God. I know I've been with the Lord when there's a humbling, when there's a little bit of pain. It hurts to hear the truth that he is speaking to me. And as I've gotten older, I'm 46 now, as I've gotten older, I've learned to value those quote-unquote cutting moments where the Spirit of God is cutting on my flesh in order to make more room for his Spirit so that what the Father desires to be done in me and through me can be done. But it ain't going to happen through my flesh. So all that's got to get cut on and cut out. So that's where we kind of came up with the Leader's Cut.
The circumcision of the heart, right? What an incredible word and phrasing to be able to give us the imagery of what that looks like as we lean into God and allow him to sharpen us, to mold us, to cultivate us into, the leader and the person, the man or the woman that God has created us to be. I love that. Circumcision of the heart. How did that, you know, progress over time for you? Because as you said, you've learned to almost embrace the pain. You've learned to lean into it. But I mean, for a lot of people that may be listening, Preston, it's like, man, that's uncomfortable. Like, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard place to be in, especially when it feels like the wheels are falling off my bus. I'm not being able to pay the bills. My family's falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. Like, man, I don't want to embrace the pain. I just want to escape the pain. What's a word of encouragement that you would share to that weary person today?
Yeah, I think one of the most dangerous things we can do in moments like that where we want to run from the pain is to begin to anesthetize, to numb, to reach for anything earthly, worldly, to quote unquote try and numb my pain, which never works. The problem with numbing my pain is at some point I'm going to feel the pain. And the longer I put off the pain, the worse the pain will be once I begin to feel the pain. So I would say the sooner I embrace the pain, what does Scripture say? God disciplines. He corrects those he loves. Scripture also says no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. And so when I experience that pain, if the Lord's taking somebody through a difficult season where they're battles on every front, one of the things I've learned that hindsight gives us, God oftentimes uses the battle today to prepare me for tomorrow's war. And so if I don't embrace that, I'm gonna get run over by a freight train tomorrow. Because Ephesians 6 is clear, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the unseen realm. If I don't prepare fighting the fights that God asked me to, by faith, walk through today, it isn't going to be pretty tomorrow. And so it's kind of like pain is like debt. The more you put it off, the more it's going to bury you.
That's good. That's really good. And we can't outrun it. You know what I mean? But we can't outlast it when we choose to embrace it and when we choose to run through it. You know, there's somebody out there, I know that, Preston, that they're going through a difficult season. They feel like they're in a waiting season. I've even seen recently, you've been talking a lot about what to do while you're waiting, right? And that comes down to that word patience, right? Patience is a virtue, as the old, you know, saying goes. But man, it's a hard one because there are times and there are things that happen, circumstances that we come up against that make us very impatient, especially as leaders, when we feel like others are depending upon us. How and what should we do when we find ourselves in the midst of a painful season and we have to remain patient? How do we do that in a godly, biblical sense?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the biggest challenges that comes with being patient is managing the perception of man. I think oftentimes what we think people think about us ends up creating this insatiable desire to be impatient because God seems to be moving slowly, which I think most of us who have walked with the Lord for any amount of time, you learn God moves excruciatingly slowly until he moves supernaturally quickly. And so it's this just principle you see all throughout Scripture that we should all just embrace. But I think oftentimes it's our perception of other people's perception of us that causes us to get impatient, to go, oh, I got to do something now. Yeah, but if God isn't moving, why would I move? If God isn't asking for something yet, why would I take it to him if he won't bless it? I've made far more mistakes getting ahead of God with something good, thinking it's good. It was helping people, but I've learned anything God doesn't ask for is not good for me to bring him. This is why he says, Preston, I desire obedience more than your sacrifice. Just bring me what I ask for. And if that means I want you to sit in anonymity for 10 years, if that means I want you to sit and no one ever knows your name for the rest of your life, Preston, if I'm sitting with you, you have nothing to worry about. But I think we have to die to the perception of man. No good thing comes from dwelling on what people think of us.
It's so true. And the old saying says that comparison is the thief of joy, right? And like you're saying, I think so often we allow other people's perception to speed us up or even to slow us down, when in reality, our goal should be to strive to attune ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit every single day, because there's peace in his presence, like you just mentioned, right? When we feel like we are in close proximity to God, right? We feel safe and we can weather any storm. It doesn't matter how slow or how fast he seems to be moving. But when we're attuned to the Spirit, there is always peace. You know, Preston, as we talk about leadership for a second. Leadership is actually one of the most searched keywords in Google and all over the internet. Everybody wants to know what it means and what it looks like to lead well and to do it better on a daily basis. But you being someone in a leadership role as a senior pastor, you being someone who has sat down and been able to have conversations that are very meaningful with incredible leaders in our day and age, what are some of the greatest lessons or even characteristics that you would say every leader, especially good leaders in biblical times, but every leader today in current times possesses on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think when we talk about kingdom leaders, which obviously the rules for us as sons and daughters of God are a little bit different than for those who are just out doing their own thing. And I think one of the hallmarks of a godly leader has to be humility. I think pride, when we read through scripture, pride has to be one of the scariest things. Think about this. God literally goes on record and says, I despise this. So much so, Preston, that when I find it in you, I make you a promise. I'm going to humble you. And I think we have to start with humility, which is so hard. How do you manage success? How do you manage growing influence? How do you manage more resource? How do you manage more? How do you stay humble, recognizing every good and perfect gift comes from God? He did this. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Nobody else did. Anything good, which happens through me, is because of God. So I think we have to start with just godly perspective, which is humility. But then also, I think we have to remember that every follower of Jesus really is called to be a leader. Like John the Baptist, one of my favorite things about John the Baptist, his disciples were jealous of Jesus, essentially. And they come back to him and they go, hey, you got to tell this guy. He's stealing some of our mojo. Like, people are starting to follow him. And John has such a great response. And he says, listen, this is my paraphrase, of course. He says, listen to me. This is why I exist, to point people, lead people to him. If that's all I do with my life is run around standing on the highest hill that I can, screaming at the top of my lungs, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. That to me is leadership. Point me to Jesus. We just think about leading people, but what are we leading them to? As Christ followers, the call is to lead them to him. So I try and remind everybody, no matter what their vocation is, no matter what their station in life, if you follow Jesus, you are leading. And you can lead people to him. And this is why being cut upon is so important. Because my flesh isn't going to lead anybody to Jesus. In fact, it may lead them away. So I think if we can just try our best to live humbly before God, not trying to share one bit of glory for anything good which happens through us, to see every good thing that he gives us as a responsibility to steward, not an affirmation of how awesome we are. I think we have a tall order as Christ followers to be leaders, but you know, I think there are definitely things scripture helps us understand. If we'll just walk these things out, we got a pretty decent shot.
That's right. Humility is key, though, because as John would say, right, he must increase, but I must decrease. One of my favorite worship songs, if more of him means less of me, then take everything, right? And so, man, when we have that posture, because that's what it is. It comes down to a posturing of the heart. It's about how we're doing what we're doing, right? Not just about what we do, but how we do it and who we do it for. And as leaders, when we approach or embrace that humility, like you said, it's a recipe not for success, but for significance. And that's what we're trying to do. It's a mission in life. Every good leader, as one of my mentors would say, is that they're mission-minded. Christ, the greatest leader ever walked the face of the earth, he had a mission, and he stuck to that mission. He was convicted by it, and he was committed to it. Every leader should have those same things. But, you know, Preston, what I want to get into for a second is I know there's leaders out there, too, that they have just been sucking wind and they've been struggling. It's like, I'm trying to do that, Preston. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing everything I can to remain humble. I'm trying to be patient. You know, I'm going through like painful seasons of life. I want God to cut me, but I'm not exactly sure how. What's just the even a word of hope and perseverance that you would offer that person today where it's like, you know what? God does see you. He is for you. He is in your midst. And we just have to persevere and persist each and every step of the way.
Yeah, I think that's part of the journey. You know, part of the beauty of following Jesus is all of the moments we want to tap out. And those are the moments. And we see Paul, the apostle, experience those many times. The guy was a genius. He was a divinely enabled genius, a great leader in the body of Christ. I mean, he had a lot of things going for him, but yet we see he wanted to tap out a few times. There were some difficulties he experienced consistently all the way to the point of death. And I would just say, part of the way you know you're doing it right is if you are wrestling with wanting to quit from time to time. When it feels more than you can bear, you're beginning to carry what God created you to carry. It would actually, Zach, it would scare me if I had two different leaders and one said, man, I got this. I'm on top of it. I can do this all the time. I'm actually more concerned for that person than the person who maybe a little too often feels, I can't do this. I can't pull this off. What am I going to do? I want to quit. So I would just say for the person that's in that spot right now, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. This is all, you may be in a testing season, so don't define yourself. Never define yourself based off of a temporary season of testing. So I would just say, if you are hearing a voice which is constantly bringing up your failures and what you're lacking, that is not the voice of God. And entertaining that voice isn't going to do you any good. It's only going to lead to you wanting to quit a lot more. So what do? Get in the Word. Get into the Word. Read through the Psalms. Read through the Gospels. Remind yourself of the faithfulness and power of God, especially when man is at his weakest.
Mm. Hey, my friends, we're up against the clock, so I'm going to stop the conversation right here to ask you as the listener to join me tomorrow for part two of this incredible conversation with our dear friend, Mr. Preston Morrison. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.